Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free. Let's talk about another infamous individual who we've covered on the show many a times in the past. We're talking with Adam Tex Davis from the podcast Slaycation. Go check that out. Press subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Of course, we're talking about Harvey Weinstein. You had an encounter with him. Before we get into the encounter, just give me some backstory. You're out there. You're in the industry prior to... obviously, all of the accusations that came against him and the charges and such. What was the vibe about Harvey? Did people kind of, was it kind of a hush-hush thing? People kind of knew he was up to some dark shit? Or was it, what was the vibe?
So this was he came into my life in 1998, 99. Mm-hmm. He was known as a tyrant. He was known as a guy who... you know, the rumors were like casting couch stuff.
Yeah.
But again, it all felt like, look, if a guy wants to say, hey, I've got a script and an actress, you want the part, you got to sleep with me. And then they make that decision. I mean, in a way, that's kind of the lore of Hollywood forever. Yeah. I mean, you know, stuff like that. So it didn't seem like there was anything, crossing the line of like legality or.
The
like,
line was so different back then, though. You know, I mean, that
line was different. Yeah. Yeah. It was a moral line.
Yeah.
I'm not talking the moral line. I'm talking like the criminal line.
Yeah.
So it's like you thought he walked up to the criminal line, but didn't cross it.
Okay.
And he was gross. You know, he was a disgusting human. Now, here's the insight I got. Okay. So just to reframe, I had written a script and we went out with it. And it was a spring break comedy. Hilariously enough, the other movie was a spring break movie. I had written a spring break movie on my own because of a goofy thing that happened to me where I wound up on spring break with my family.
Okay.
And it was like a teen sex family comedy thing.
Sex family comedy. Sounds like a project Harvey would be interested in.
Right? So the funny thing is, we had gone out with the script and nobody bought it. So I wrote a second script. And, the spring break script that I wrote was what helped get me the other job. Mm-hmm. But then, I started writing another script, which became Just Friends, the Ryan Reynolds movie. Mm-hmm. And just as I was finishing up the Just Friends script, I get a call. You're not going to believe this. Harvey Weinstein was on a plane and he heard some of his underlings laughing. And he said, what are you laughing at? And they said, there's a script that's really, really funny. So he said, give it to me. And he grabbed it and he started reading it and he was dying laughing. And like, they thought he was having a heart attack because he doesn't laugh that much. Mm-hmm. Apparently. Yeah. He loved it. So when the plane landed, he was like, call this guy. I want to buy this thing. Mm-hmm. So great. So I get this, I get this call from my manager, like, Harvey wants to buy your script. He wants to meet with you. Mm-hmm. Oh shit. Okay. Now, again, I haven't sold anything yet. I'm barely in the business. So I've taken a lot of, general meetings and stuff, but this is a big one. And
Sure. Wait,
he might buy my script. So it's my first, first sale.
And at that point in time for the audiences to understand, remember, Harvey Weinstein isn't the Harvey Weinstein we know today. All of those allegations, all that was hush hush. So he was a mogul without a doubt in Hollywood at that time. So it's a big freaking deal at that moment to get that opportunity.
Yeah. Also, he was known as the guy who started the true Oscar campaigning. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that he was able to get an Oscar for Shakespeare in Love when it was going up against a juggernaut. I think that had already happened. And so it's like, yes, this is the guy who gets Oscars for movies. He's known for his brilliant taste and the way he can take a project and shepherd it to becoming, Miramax was making a lot of money. So yeah, we knew, yes, he's a tyrant and an ogre, but he's a force in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So I go to this meeting and it's almost like, if I wrote the meeting, they would think I was just doing a caricature of him. Mm-hmm. But there is no caricature. He is his own caricature. Mm-hmm. He is exactly as advertised. Everybody in the office is totally terrified. Nobody will speak. Everybody's eyes are like averted and down because they don't want to make eyes with him. It's like if you took a tiger and you let it off the leash and it was walking around the office, everybody would have the same exact reaction.
Yeah.
And they call me into the back room and I go in there and he's like, hey, and he sits me down and he just immediately starts saying, all right, so your movie's about a kid who goes on spring break with his parents. But let me tell you something. Kids hate their parents. So I want to lose the parents. Fuck the parents. Nobody wants to see their parents. And I was like, oh, but that's kind of where the comedy comes from, because like he's trying to, you know, get with this girl and blah, blah, blah. But the parents are listen, let me tell you something. I got a friend, this guy, Fabrizio, and he fucks everybody. You know, like these actors, they have sex with this one and that one. But my friend gets to have sex with everybody. He starts naming names and doing this whole thing. And I'm like, oh, my God, is this really happening? And at one point he stops and he turns and his female vice president of production is sitting in the room. And he's like, am I making you uncomfortable? And she just like, no. And she just keeps writing in the pad. And he goes, oh, anyway, I had sex with this one and this one and this one and this one. And then the thing that I gleaned from him is like he wanted to be like the big male stars that get like models and actresses that are throwing themselves at them. Mm-hmm. And he names, you know, like a Ben Affleck or a Leo DiCaprio. Like these guys are these good looking young actors and all the girls want him, want them. Mm-hmm. He wishes he was that.
Okay.
But he's not that. He's Harvey Weinstein. He's got to use treats like parts in movies, mm-hmm. and, you know, power and hey, you want to go to this or you want to do that. And so you got that sense like, oh, that's where it's coming from. He wishes he could just have his pick, but he can't. So he's got to use his power and he's got to use that kind of stuff. And I was just happy that I am a not so good looking guy sitting in the room and I'm not some pretty female with a script that he wanted, because I can't even imagine the pressure and whatever, you know, like I'll buy your script, but you know, he was absolutely disgusting. And the thing that kills me the most is, especially the way things have turned out, is at one point in the movie, there's a low point for the character and his mom is being crazy and whatever. And he says, you know, that one moment, I don't believe it. Like it's too unbelievable. It would never happen. And I go, not only would it happen, it did happen, and it happened to me. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I guess I lived a better life than you. So now I look at all the fun that he's going through.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? You probably don't say that.
Probably not. Probably not. My God.
I feel like I'm doing a little better right now.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you were going through that experience of that movie, I mean, was there anything that you had heard from anybody, you know, on the cast or anything, where anything weird about Harvey, or did he keep
that movie never got made?
Okay.
He shelved it, I heard, because he didn't get to buy the next one.
Okay.
You know, because I finished Just Friends and New Line snatched it up, but they had a first look deal with my manager. But I heard through the grapevine that he was not happy that he didn't get first look at that movie, so he just kind of shelved the other movie. And there had been two attempts to try to get that movie from them, other companies, uh-huh. and they asked for too much money and wouldn't release it.
Yeah.
So I had never heard the allegation, like I had never heard any of the allegations like that came out. Again, I never thought he was the guy who was going to cross the line.
Sure.
I thought he was smarter than that.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, you know, a lot of these guys, they think they're so powerful that they're not going to get caught.
No, for the longest time they were. I mean, for the longest time they were so shielded, and that's the scary part. And then suddenly it all shattered in the course of a year, which was shocking and but great at the same point. So those folks can't continue to do what they've been doing with their reigns of terror.
Yeah, that's the saddest part. The saddest part is that either people weren't believed.
Yeah.
Or that people protected him,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, again, you know, if I had any inkling, you know, that any of that was going, like, I would be like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be associated with that. And it wasn't a great experience. I only met him the one time, and then I met him at a party years later. And I again, nothing had come out yet or anything, but I had gone up to him and I said, I don't know if you remember me, but you bought my very first script. Mm-hmm. And I had sold a bunch by then at whatever. And he said, oh yeah, yeah, wait, I remember that. And then he remembered the title and he was like, yeah, that was really funny. I wish we could have done something with that. He said, I was like, well, one of us could have.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, funny guy. And then he walked away. But
yeah. You know, would you rather run into, if you had to do it again, the ghost or Harvey Weinstein?
I'd rather run into Harvey Weinstein's ghost.
Well, that could happen soon. He just had open heart surgery, and as of our recording of this, he's still alive, unfortunately.
Right.
But that may change by the time people see this.
Right. I'll take the ghost.
Yeah.
I'll take the ghost over him.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.